just the way life is, the way that it is. There's just times where you have to have a little talk with Jesus. Amen. You have to have that little talk, even in a family situation. There's some times where you just have to sit down and just have a little talk about all of the misunderstandings and things that can even go on in a family and in your spiritual walk. Amen. The way that God works in your life, there can be times that you just have some misunderstandings. You just need to say, Jesus, me and you need to have a talk because there are some things I'm not quite understanding. I'm not quite grasping. God's not going to get upset with you. Amen. We just get so busy with life, we just go and do. And do you ever go and just go and do and wonder what in the world is going on in your life? Why is this happening? What is that happening? It's time to sit down and have a little talk with Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to talk about something very basic today, but yet it's probably one of the most vital things that we need to make sure that we are taking care of today. We're over in Matthew 25, the first 13 verses, and we're going to read this to you. This is the parable of the 10 virgins, but what we want to talk about today is we're going to talk about the preparation, you being prepared for the coming of the Lord. Well, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm good, I've gave my heart to God, I'm living for Him. But it goes deep, and as deep as it goes, Jesus in His teaching says there's not going to be no spot, no or no blemish that's going to enter into the kingdom of God. If you're going to be ready for the rapture of the church and be ready for Jesus when He comes, there can't be a spot, there can't be a wrinkle, there can't be a blemish, or otherwise you're not going to be found worthy to get in there. Yes, we know the grace of God and the mercy of God helps us, and His love does cover a multitude of sins, but yet He wants us to strive on to perfection. At one point in one of His teachings, Jesus says, "Be ye also perfect as I am perfect." And you're thinking, wow, I can never be like Jesus. Well, then Jesus was just really messing with us when He told us to be perfect as He is perfect. And so in what ways does He want us to be perfect? How is there not to be any spot, any wrinkle, or any blemish? And I've been saying this lately, especially within the last month, more so, it's been a month now since Israel had that attack put up on her by Hamas, and you're following the news, you know what's going on over there, and tides and things are changing a little bit, attitudes are, but I say this to people, if there's ever a time that you need to make sure that you're ready for the coming of the Lord, it needs to be now. If there's any time that you need to be positively sure that there's no spot, wrinkle, or blemish in your wedding garment, in your soul, it needs to be now, because we are just right there. I mean, Jesus could come before we're done here this morning. And old timers have said this in the past, but it becomes more meaningful as time goes by. It's time to really serve God. It's not time to be playing church anymore. What do you mean playing church? I'm just going through the routine. I'm just going through the activity. It just has become a habit that I have. I just go to church at certain times, and I go to Bible study, and I do this, and I do that. It's time for us to change our attitude and to be, if you were ever serious about serving God, it needs to be now. You need to be serious about serving God, because trust me, you do not want to miss the rapture of the church. You do not want to miss the coming of the Lord. You talk about a sick feeling coming over you. If you miss the coming of the Lord, you're going to have such a sick feeling coming over you. You're probably going to have to be calling a doctor and say, give me some medicine to help me. I don't know if I can handle this because of the information that you already know. You already know that you need to be watching and waiting. You already know that there's not to be spot, wrinkle, and blemish. But yet many times we don't take care of those things in our life. We don't take care of those things that we know that we should take care of. It's always, I'm going to do it someday. So let's read this scripture here, and then we'll dive into this a little bit. Matthew chapter 25, you've been going to church, you've heard this a lot of times, but you need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Pastor Eastman preached a message here years and years ago, and it was this: it's time to set your house in order. It's time for you to set your spiritual house in order. It's time for you to decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. It's time for you to decide, I'm going to stop doing thus and so. I'm going to stop doing this and that I know that God really doesn't want me to do, but yet seemingly I'm getting away with it. It's time to put things in order. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. For they that were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So as these virgins... Amen. As these virgins were, we think that we have all the time in the world. Yeah, I'm going to get it right someday. I know what I need to do. There are people that have thought that for years and came to their deathbed and never made those things right. I'm going to start going to church someday. I'm going to start reading my Bible someday. I'm going to be serious about serving God someday. And death came to them before they were ready. And we all tend to be that way. Amen. In this world, we think that we have all the time in the world. We think and we say to ourselves, well, I plan on getting serious someday, but not today. Perhaps tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next year, maybe if I see more happening in the biblical prophecy stuff, and then I'll get serious about it. Amen. But we plan to get serious someday, but it's not today. Perhaps tomorrow, if I get sick unto death, then I'm going to be serious about it. If I'm on my deathbed, then I'm going to be serious about it. The problem is we don't know when the bridegroom's coming for us. You don't know when the bridegroom's coming for you. We don't know when Jesus is going to come. We are looking for the coming of the Lord. We believe we're going to be living in that time when it happens, but he might come and call your number before the rapture of the church. Your number might come up. You need to be ready to meet God, and that business that hasn't been taken care of in your life, you need to take care of it. As we learned in Sunday school this morning, you need to follow the leading of the Spirit. They were teaching about conscience this morning, but children of God have the Spirit of God within us, which should be our conscience, and he will lead and he will guide us into all truth. And if he's nudging you, if you want to say it that way, or if he's pulling at your heartstrings about setting something in order, about changing the way that you're doing something in your life. That's how God speaks to us. If you feel a need to make a change in your life, it's time today to make that change and not to wait. And as we look through this story here that I read to you, there's something in there that really caught my eye, and that was verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And Jesus is tarrying today. Jesus has not returned yet. The rapture hasn't happened yet. And as this story, this parable goes here, it says, while he tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Even those that were ready to meet the bridegroom, they were slumbering and sleeping. And there's a lot of people today that really they're ready to meet Jesus, but they're just in a slumber. They're just in a sleep. And the Word of God tells us somewhere it's high time to wake out of sleep. It's time to wake ourselves up. What's going on in the Middle East today is almost like, for some people, it's almost like splashing cold water in their face, and they're waking up like, wow, this is really coming to something. It's something that we heard in the teaching that we had yesterday, and I did look at it, and it's very interesting, and it's worth studying. And out to what's going on over in Israel today and in the Middle East could be very well what is described in Psalms chapter 83. It's a prophetic utterance that is in there, and it talks about these things. And if that is what is happening today, I'm going to tell you right now, Israel is going to get the victory over this situation that they're in today. Amen. And so it's like a slap in the face. It's like a slap to reality. Like, wow, this is really happen, and it's beginning to happen in before my eyes. But Matthew 24 and verse 43, right close to the end where, or before where we picked up, and Jesus said this to his disciples, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. There's a lot of people that think they have biblical prophecy figured out, and they think that Jesus can't quite come yet. And the way our human nature is, we then tend to begin to think, well, I can dabble in this, I can do that, and I can be lax in my service to God. Listen, he's coming for those that are watching and waiting. He's coming those that are expecting his return. He's coming for those that are at the door and they're saying, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I need you to come. Amen. But the problem of reality is that someday that you're going to fix things up, that someday you're going to get serious about serving God. That someday never comes. It never comes. The day that you're living in today, yesterday that was someday. Tomorrow will be someday. Someday never comes. And so you need to make your mind up that I am going to serve the Lord. Amen. And if we were to get serious, if we were to get serious about the coming of the Lord and serving God, what would we do more of? Amen. And if you knew, the analogy of it, but the way our minds work, it helps us understand it a little bit more. If you knew that you were going to die on Friday of this week, how would you start living differently right now? Think about that for a minute. What would I do different than what I did last week, or even what's going on in my life right now? What would I change in my life if I knew Friday at noon, that's it for me, it's all over? Think about it. It's like, oh, it's an uncomfortable thought. That's how we need to think. We need to think like that. So what were we to do? If you were to get real serious about serving God, what would you do? I guarantee you'd be reading the Bible more. You would want to know Jesus better than you know him right now. You'd be doing a lot more praying. You'd be doing a lot more soul searching. Amen. We need to do soul searching in ourselves, not walking in fear that I'm going to miss the coming of the Lord, but God, I don't want a spot, a wrinkle, or blemish to be in my life. I think I'm doing pretty good. When anybody says they think they're doing pretty good, what are they doing? They're always comparing themselves to somebody else who isn't doing as well as they are, and then therefore they think they're doing pretty good. The standard that we need to measure ourselves by is the Word of God. How are you doing according to what God wants you to do in your life? And so you would pray more. You would read the Bible more. And if you knew this was your last 5 days on earth, I guarantee you this morning when we were worshiping God, you would have had your hands up in the air. You would be here tonight for sure in service. And you'd be worshiping God. You would be focused on him. You would be thinking about him. And if you knew it was Friday, you would definitely be in the prayer meeting tomorrow night. 7 to 8 o'clock, calling upon God. You would be getting in contact with your friends, with your family, with your loved ones. Make sure that you're ready to meet God. And we're being hypothetical about it, but because you know Friday's going to be your last day, your message to this world would be very different. You wouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You would be going into work tomorrow. Be telling your workmates, you would be saying, listen, in this life, there's one thing you need to make sure that you do, and it is that you give your heart to God, that you be a believer in Jesus. You see how we would live so differently if we knew that. Well, the reality of it is we need to be living that way all of the time, as though this is my last day on earth. And if it was your last 5 days on earth, you would be living with a little bit of urgency. Amen. When the worship service is going on, your hands would be raised. You wouldn't be ashamed. You would be speaking in tongues if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't be able to hold you down. You'd be shouting. You'd be excited about what God was doing. Amen. And that is, amen, if you were to get serious about serving God, amen, what wouldn't we do? What's some of the things that we would stop doing if we knew that, and I'm using that example, if we knew that our last day on earth was going to be this Friday at noon and that's going to be it, something that we would stop doing if you are doing it, you wouldn't be saying foul words anymore. you would stop the swear and you would put that foolishness aside. Amen. And if you indulge in alcohol, I'm sure that you'd be convicted in your spirit. You wouldn't be indulging in alcohol. Amen. And if you tell little white lie, as people say, here and there, you would lay that aside. You would want to speak only truth to men. You wouldn't want to be deceptive to anybody. And if you're having an attitude problem at work or at home or in the community or anywhere in general, your attitude would be totally different. If you knew Friday at noon it was the ear attitude, right now it would be so sweet, it would be so wonderful. People would wonder what happened, what kind of change came over you. Listen, I'm talking about people that need to be living in the light of His coming and be serious about Jesus' coming. Amen. If a person is mean-spirited, they wouldn't be mean-spirited anymore. They would lay that aside. They would have a sweet and a gentle spirit. They would be out there to help others. You wouldn't be boastful anymore. You wouldn't be boasting, well, let me tell you this, and what I did this, and I did that. You would become very humble. Amen. And you wouldn't be wasting your time. How many of us just wasted time even this past week? Time that we could have been doing something for God, but we're just wasting time away. We waste so much time in things that we do. And I can be guilty of it too. It's so easy to have your idle time and to waste it on the telephone. Amen. On the social media and things that are there. You don't even get any information on here that does you much good. And besides the information you get, you don't know if you can believe it or if it's true or not. Amen. We would change those things. We wouldn't be doing those things. Amen. These flaws we have in our lives, we all plan on fixing them someday. Someday, I'm not going to spend so much time on this stuff here. Someday, I'm going to pray more. Someday, Pastor, I'm going to make it to that prayer meeting on the first Monday night of the month. Someday, Pastor, I'm going to make it to the 5:30 prayer meeting on Sunday night. If you knew Friday at noon you were going to be done, I guarantee you, you would be here tonight at 5:15. You probably, in fact, would want to spend the rest of the afternoon in the church house, meditating on God, meditating on your life, letting the Spirit speak to you. Is there anything I need to fix? Is there a wrinkle? Is there a spot? Is there a blemish in my life? God, that I am blinded to it, that God would open our eyes. Do you realize very few people in this world? Do you realize that there's very few people in this world that are murderers, that are rapists, that are child molesters, and whatever evil things you can think of? Yet do you also realize that most of the people in this world are headed to hell? Do you realize that? Not everybody's out there a killer, a murderer, a rapist, a child molester. Not everybody's like that. But do you realize that most people are headed to hell? And there's a scripture that I want to read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27 says this to us. Ephesians 5:27 says this. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these... Excuse me, 5:27. I don't know how I got over there. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Pastor, I can't be holy without blemish. You don't know me. We can by the grace of Jesus Christ. He is our substitution. We let Him come into our life in His fullness. And it's Jesus that just oozes out of us. Amen. And we become more like Him. He wants to present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing. Christ, on His return, He's coming for those who do not have a spot, who do not have a wrinkle, and who do not have a blemish. And so to be ready for Jesus, amen, He wants you to cleanse your spots. You're like, what's He mean? What do you mean He wants us to cleanse our spots? And I think it's in 1 Corinthians, and it says, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It says, let us cleanse ourselves. You got to cleanse yourselves of those spots that's in your lives and things that you know God is not pleased with. Well, I thought it was Jesus that cleanses me. He's the one that cleanses me, but I'm the one that has to lay it down. If I'm a drinker and get saved and continue to drink, that's a spot in my life. That's a blemish. I'm not saying that there's not a Christian that gives their heart to God and they go out and drink and that they're not a Christian anymore. I'm not saying that, but that's a blemish. And if that continues in a person's life, that's something that they have to lay down. You have have to cleanse yourself from that. God's not going to come down and take that alcoholic beverage away from you. Amen. Whatever vices there are out there in this life that can get a hold of us, He wants you to cleanse yourself from those. He wants you to lay those aside. If you have an issue with the things that you scroll and look at, as our Sunday school was lesson teaching us today on the internet, you're the one that has to lay this thing down. I'm just not going to do that anymore. The Bible says, touch not, taste not, handle not. Talking about those things that are before us. David, he sort of made a vow to God, and he says, I'm not going to set any evil thing before my eye. He had to do that and cleanse himself from that. So there is some work that we have to do. All the work was done on Calvary. Then why does the Bible say, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit? Amen. If you have a bad attitude or something, God ain't just going to come and take that bad attitude away from you. That's a spot. That's a blemish in your life. You have to lay that bad attitude aside and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm not going to go that way anymore. I'm not going to think that way anymore. I can do this. God does care, amen, about what we call little things. Little things. Well, that's just a little thing. God doesn't care about those little things. We're talking about a spot, a wrinkle, and a blemish. In examples that we have in God's Word. When God come to speak to Moses in that burning bush, and he told Moses to remove his shoes. You remove your shoes before I speak to you. Moses could have said, I don't need to remove my shoes. Just go ahead, God, talk to me. It was a little thing, but God said, remove your shoes. And then God spoke to Moses because Moses was on holy ground. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, another little thing that was important to God. The Ark of the Covenant wasn't to be touched by man. But if you know the story, someone tried to save it because it was about to fall, and they died because they broke God's command. God said, no man is to touch that ark. That's just a little thing. Amen. So God, He even feeds the sparrows that are out there. The hairs of your head are numbered. God knows and sees all things, and nothing in your life goes unnoticed from God. Sometimes we wonder, where are you, God? He's right there beside you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He sees when you have perplexity in your mind about a situation. You don't know what direction to go. He hasn't forsaken you. He's still there. Amen. He will still guide you. He will still speak to you. Amen. And so it's an easy, it's a natural thing. And we all do this. We try not to do it, but it's just a natural thing. We can always see and notice the spots in others. We can all see the imperfections in others. As an example, I can see imperfections in my wife. I'm not talking about sinful things, but I can just see imperfections in her. And then if she tries to point an imperfection out to me in my life, I might get upset because I don't see it. It's difficult for us to see imperfections in our own life. It's difficult for us to see the spots, the wrinkles and blemishes in our own life. But by the help of God, we need to pray and say, God, show me, let me know the spots and the wrinkles and the blemishes in my life, areas in my life where I need to clean them up a little bit, the way that you would have me to do, because we can't get into heaven if we have a spot and a wrinkle and a blemish. Amen. And so it's easy to see that. Luke 6:42 tells us not to point out the little issues in others when we have big issues in ourselves. It's easy to look at somebody else and say, I'm going to tell you what their problem is, and yada, yada, yada. We can just go on with it. The Bible tells us not to do that because we need to look at ourselves first. When you think somebody else is so imperfect, you need to look at yourself first. Amen. Some seem to enjoy their imperfections. I'm just not perfect. God's not finished with me yet. I know that I'm not perfect. Amen. But God wants you to pay attention to the imperfections that's in your life. It's easy for us to say, oh, well, that's just me. I'm just always going to react in that way. It can be a blemish. It could be a spot. It can be a wrinkle. And we don't need to look at it. Well, I'm always going to be that way. We don't enjoy that. Amen. But I should say we do. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus in Luke chapter 18. And he had a spot in his life, and the spot that he had in his life was the love that he had for his riches. And Jesus challenged him to take that and to give to the poor and to help, and he couldn't handle that. It says he walked away very sorrowful. His riches owned him. His riches owned him, and God wasn't pleased with that. Is there something in your life today that actually owns you, that takes priority over the God in your life? Do you have any spots or flaws that you don't want to get rid of? Something that you just enjoy. You like it. This rich young man, he loved his riches, and he didn't want to get rid of them. It doesn't mean that you can't come to God and have riches, but God knew that that was a priority in his life over following and serving God. If there's anything in your life that's more of a priority than God in your life, God knows what it is. And that's what God wants to get out of your life. That's an imperfection. That's a flaw. That's a spot. That's a wrinkle. That's a blemish. Amen. And what would you feel sad, amen, in your life? I asked you this morning. What would you feel sad about letting go of? What would you miss the most? If there's something in your life and God's dealing with and he wants you to stop it, he wants you to get rid of it, what is that thing that, oh, I just don't know if I could do that. I would just miss that so much. I just enjoy it so much. Amen. And if you can't get rid of those spots, wrinkles, and blemishes, amen, you must seem to enjoy. You must like the flaws that you have. Amen. I don't want to have flaws in my life. We condemn ourselves by keeping our spots and wrinkles. Well, God understands. In the grace of God, the mercy of God, he just knows that I'm doing my best, and they just told me down to the church, just do my best and God will do the rest. There are some things that God wants you to do. Amen. And so we condemn ourselves by keeping our spots and wrinkles. And if we keep our spots and wrinkles and blemishes, you know what we become? Revelations talks about it. We become lukewarm Christians. We become lukewarm Christians. Amen. If you're serious about following Jesus, you'll rid yourselves of your flaws. If you're serious about following Jesus, those flaws that you have, those imperfections that you have, you're going to get them out of your life with the help of God. Amen. Because the Bible tells us, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You can do it. And remember in the Bible what it says, what happens to the lukewarm? They're spewed out of God's mouth. God either wants you really on fire and serious about serving him, or otherwise just go serve the devil. Because if you're in that lukewarm state, you're not going to make it. You're going to be the foolish virgin. You're not going to have enough oil in your lamps when Jesus comes. You're going to have some oil in your lamps, but you're going to have spots, wrinkles, and blemishes. You're not going to be really ready for the coming of the Lord. So take a good hard look at yourself right now. Don't think about anybody else. And answer this question to yourself. Are you lukewarm or are you becoming lukewarm? Think about that. Am I lukewarm? Am I becoming lukewarm? I don't have the same zeal and desire to be in God's house. I don't have as much interest in spiritual things as I once had. And in fact, I just wish that this could get done and get over. You're making me uncomfortable. Are you lukewarm? Are you becoming lukewarm? Amen. Are you lukewarm? Are you becoming lukewarm in any area of your life where you're just backing up a little bit? Things you used to do in your service to God, and it's just like, I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. It's not necessary. Amen. Most who are lukewarm, and this is a sad truth, and it's hard for me to stir you. It's going to take the Spirit of God to move you. Most people that are lukewarm, they're happy that way. That's how they want to be. They're just, me and Jesus, we've got our own thing going. I know I'm okay. You got to be careful with that. Amen. Most that are lukewarm, they're okay with it. They don't want to give up whatever they might be spending too much time on. Whatever they're wasting their time on, they don't want to give that up. They're lukewarm. They just don't want to do it. They just enjoy what they're doing. And then there's a subject that we talk about. You just might enjoy it too much. My grandfather, my dad's father, while he was yet alive, I was traveling with him, and we went to the state of Tennessee many years ago, and he was visiting with his son down there, my uncle, and the son was concerned about his father's health, and he said, Dad, I just wish there was one thing that you'd stop doing. He said, I just wish you wouldn't smoke. He said, you know, that's not good for your health. And you know the words that come out of his mouth, I heard him say it. He goes, well, son, it's like this. He goes, I just enjoy smoking. And you could be in that situation today. You just enjoy it. It's just so refreshing. It's just so reviving. You just enjoy that kind of thing. And you're not willing. It's not even on the list of things that maybe I need to try to get the victory over that or to lay that aside. You just don't want to do it. And there can be other things in your life that you're involved in, and it's not good for you, but you just enjoy doing it. You need to decide that you're going to lay those things aside. Amen. What causes spots? What causes spots in your life and in my line, or in my life, spots, wrinkles, and blemishes? It's the little foxes. Those little blemishes can keep you from being ready for the coming of the Lord. Little blemishes. Man, I don't want to have everything 99.9% right, and I miss the rapture of the church. You talk about having a sick feeling. You talk about having a nervous collapse. I believe there's going to be a lot of people that think they're ready for the coming of the Lord that aren't. It's going to be a horrible day for them because, I mean, talk about a slap of reality. Talk about cold water in your face. Talk about ice water in your face. They're going to be like, Lord, what now? They're then going to be serious about serving God. But it's the little blemishes that keep you from being ready for the rapture. In Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 15, it talks about it. It says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not because I'm a rapist, because I'm a killer, because I'm a murderer, because I'm a child molester. You know, I'm not any of those, but it's the little things that spoil the vine. Galatians 5:22. What should we have as believers in God? We want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We should have the fruits of the Spirit coming out of us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, temperance. We're to have those things in our life. That's what's to emit from us. And traits of a Christian, the traits of being a Christian are going to show up in your everyday living. It's not going to be like, and you go to church and you talk like that, or you listen to stories like that, or you believe in this kind of thing, or you treat people that way, or you go to church. You're not going to have that. You're going to have the traits of a Christian in your everyday living. Matthew 12:33, the tree is known by its fruit. What kind of fruit are you producing today? Are you producing Jesus? Do people see Jesus in you, or do they see everything but Jesus in you? So what should we do so that we're ready for the coming of the Lord? We have to get rid of those imperfections. God helps us. I believe it this way. If there's imperfections in your life and you're working on them, and God knows you're working on them, you're doing your best to lay something aside in your life, and you're struggling with that, I don't think that God's going to say, well, you can't go in the rapture. I believe if you're working on it, doing the best that you can, and God's the judge, I believe that it's going to be okay. So we have to get rid of those imperfections to be ready for the rapture. And, well, remember I was talking about all of the things that have come to your mind that I need to fix up. I need to get rid of. I need to cleanse myself of these things. You can start today. It's not good just to compile the list in your mind. As I've shared with you this morning, different things have come to your mind. And you thought, yep, I need to change this, but I'll get around to it someday. And we come up with some kind of a plan in our mind how we're going to change things so that we're not involved in that thing anymore. But we never put it. We never implement the plan. You can start today. Amen. You can start today. And so there's lots of spots that people had, that people have. And so what should we do? How do we clean up those spots and blemishes and wrinkle in our lives? Take them one at a time and let the Holy Spirit speak to you now as I'm finishing up here this morning. God, what flaw, what blemish, what spot is there in my life right now that I need to take care of? You might say, well, there's so many. Let God speak to your heart. God, what is it that I need to clean up in my life? Amen. You need to pick one today. Amen. By the guidance of the Spirit. And you need to start working on that one. We just try to do sometimes too much at one time. Well, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to clean this up. And I'm going to clean. And we just give up. Just pick one and start there. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you will help us today, God. Lord, and as I've shared the word here, I believe that you have spoke to our hearts, God. Lord, you pointed things out to us individually, God, where we need to start working on that, God. Lord, doing whatever it is that we need to do to lay that thing aside. Amen. God, your word tells us to lay aside every weight and every sin and everything that doth so easily beset us, that we can run with patience the race that is set before us, God. Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts today, God. Lord, there's none of us in here today that's listening or even on the internet that want to have a spot and a wrinkle and a blemish, God, because you're coming back for a spotless church. And we know that it's Jesus and Jesus being within us. Amen. And his grace and love can cover a lot of those things. But God, those things that we know we shouldn't be doing, and you deal with us, Lord, that we will deal with those things beginning today, God. Lord, that we won't wait another day, that I'll do it someday, God. Lord, that we'll learn to live our lives, Lord, in the light that I could stop breathing right now, God. Lord, in what we used here this morning, God, if I knew this Friday at noon was going to be it for me, how different would I live my life this week? That's the gauge that we can go by, God. Lord, speak to our hearts, God. Lord, that we'll clean ourselves up for you, God, that we'll be ready for you, God. Lord, how sad will it be on that day, those that thought they were ready. Lord, the other ones, they had some oil in their lamps, but they weren't full of oil. Their light wasn't burning, God, and they were left. They couldn't go into that marriage ceremony, God. Lord, that tells us there's going to be people that are walking in the right way, but they're just not quite expecting and ready for your coming. God, help us to be ready for your coming, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's a song in one of our books that we used to sing years ago, and I think it's in the Red Book, and it's that song. You can stand to your feet this morning. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Amen. It may be morning, night, or noon. We don't know when he's coming, but he's coming soon. It's page 32 in the Red Books. I don't know if it's in the books that you have. Amen. But let's sing this morning. This might have made you uncomfortable this morning, but that's okay. I'd rather be uncomfortable now and be uneasy now and make a change and change some things in my life than to miss the coming of the Lord. You're really going to be uncomfortable if you miss the coming of the Lord. You don't want to miss the coming of the Lord. I'll start this and maybe she can pick this up.